Yeda Devara. Shama Mitzvah Yeda Devara. Person who keeps the mitzvah, keeps mitzvahs, will not know of any evil. Then he says, the Esu Mishpat Yeda Lev Chacham. And a time and justice, the heart of the Chacham will know. And the next pasuk goes together with this one. So it says, Kilochol Chefetz Yesh Esu Mishpat. For everything there is a time and a judgment. Ki Ras Adam Rabba Alav. Because the evil of man is very great upon him. Actually, these psukim from Shema Mitzvah, basically from here, it goes. It's like one thing until you get to Tes Yud Gimel, straight through. It's more or less one subject matter. All right. Now. It's interesting, but over here he says, Shoma mitzvah li'edah davara. Person who guards a mitzvah doesn't know anything evil. And then in the next few psukim, he starts analyzing, it seems, whether this is really so. Because he says like this. He says, take a look at Yudbeis, Ches Yudbeis. Asher chota osa ra ma'as umarech lo. The Russia could do evil for a long time and for many people and he has an extended life. Gamki day only a shiur tov. Okay, then it's like this. Then of course he says v'tov lo yil the Russia layarvim katzel. But then he goes back in Yedalot, he says, Yesh Hevel Hashanas Al Oretz, Sheyesh Tzadikim Shemegiel Ayim Kemaisa Hirashoyim. Yesh Hashoyim Shemegiel Ayim Kemaisa Tzadikim. Amadish Shekam Zehovel. So apparently he says that it's not true, that sometimes the Tzadik receives the reward of the wicked, and the wicked receives the reward of the Tzadik. So it would seem that it's a contradiction. But so here he says, Shem Mitzvah Le'edah Davarah. And then he says, Yeshev Lashon Asalas, Sheyesh Tzadikim Hashem Megiel Ayim Kemaisa Hirashoyim. Okay. So that's one point we have to understand. Then also, what does it mean? He says, Shoma Mitzvah Le'edah Davara. A person who keeps a mitzvah will not know any evil befalling him. The Ace Mishpat Yeda Lev Chacham. What does it mean, the Ace? What does that get away with? The Ace Mishpat Yeda Lev Chacham. What does that have to do with anything? The Ace Mishpat Yeda Lev Chacham. So at any rate, with regard to the Esu Mishpat Yeda Lev Chacham, so the Ibn Ezra says an interesting shot. He says like this. So the Pirush Acha Shomer Mitzvah. The next pasuk, so Kilakol Vav Yeda Chacham Kilakol Chayfetz Lachol Chayfetz Yesh Es. He knows, the Chacham knows that for everything there is a time. V'lo yikunes li lochem im ish she'ashor mesachakas lo. He will not enter into battle, go against the person who he sees that the hour is smiling on him, so to speak. Yeah. Zinyin ki ras adam afi she'yeda ki es l'chol chayfetz v'lo yeda mosay sagiyo esesu v'zu ra rabba. So that's the end of the pasuk. It says ki ras adam rabba lo, because it's very bad for man. It means to say that he doesn't know when exactly it's going to turn. But what does it mean? The Esu Mishpat Yeda Lev Chacham. He says the Chacham knows that he won't enter into battle against the person that he sees that the Shah is Mesachakaslo, that it's a very good time for him. It's a good time for him. So what does that mean, basically? What does that imply? What does it mean it's a good time? The hour is smiling at him. He's successful. He's being very successful at that moment. Excuse me? Does it mean to say that he's lucky? He's lucky, or is it a matter of his skill? What does it mean? Shor mesachakas lo. Gemara speaks about it in brachas. Gemara says that a person that's successful. Gemara refers to that type of a person. Shor mesachakas lo. A person successful.
How much calculation
that you should try to you're going to go into business, you should try to go into business with somebody that's Hashem Mesachakaslav. Hashem Mesachakaslav. You see, he's successful. So what does it mean, Hashem Mesachakaslav? It means that time is on his side. The hour is on his side. He's lucky. What is the idea, basically? He's a lucky man. We believe in luck. Just happens to be lucky. So he's lucky. He's been lucky yesterday. It means he's going to continue to be lucky tomorrow. I mean, luck is limited to a specific time. So why should you go into business with a man that's lucky tomorrow? He's going to be unlucky. Doesn't make any sense.
Did he demonstrate this?
Yeah, that's right, Danny. The pshat is like this. The pshat is the knowledge of man, and these, see, everybody has, if a person is successful, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. It means that he contributed to a certain, let's call it a certain type of knowledge that he has. I say a certain type because knowledge, absolute knowledge, it doesn't depend on any time or hour. Absolute knowledge is something which works at any time. But then there is, in man, there's another kind of knowledge, like an intuitive type of knowledge. An intuitive type of knowledge, or even if he could explain it more than on an intuitive level, might be able to crystallize it and formulate it, but the point is, it's limited. Why is it limited? Because he only has knowledge in one area, one type of situation. Hashem Mesachakaslav really means a combination. It means that in this type of a situation, he's successful. He's successful in this type of a situation. And that is really the nature of human success. Human success takes place within a given framework. There's nobody that really has absolute knowledge with regard to being successful or not being successful. He's successful. He's successful in a certain type of business. You find people are successful in one business, and then oftentimes that's their downfall. They're successful in one business, and they think that they can do well in another business. So they move into another area. They invest the money they earn in one area, and they lose it in the other area. Because that other area is not Hashem Mesachakaslav. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the intuition. They don't have the ability in that area. So we have a certain people could be very successful in a certain type of market. Market changes. And that's it. They can't make it. They lose their ability to earn. Their earning ability. So human nature is limited. Even if you find a person that could be successful in every in most situations, but then there are other types of situations where government comes in and takes over. That's the end of the. I don't care how successful he is. He wouldn't be able to do anything in that situation. So man's ability is based on a certain man's knowledge in the area of his success is limited. It's limited. He has a certain type of intuition or a certain ability in a certain given situation. As long as those factors remain in place, he's going to continue to be successful. The factors change, that's it. He will not be able to do it. That's what it means, Hashem Mesachakaslav. Hashem Mesachakaslav means he's successful in a certain market, certain type of situation. Situation changes, and that's the end of it. Of course, the person that's successful usually attributes it not to the situation, but usually universalizes. Sometimes he universalizes, attributes it to his own abilities, which would be would cause him to be successful in many situations. But that's not the case. The idea of Kochi Rotzim Yadim means inherently I'm able to always do this. He doesn't recognize that it was the situation. Of course, it's his ability. Torah doesn't take away from man his ability. We don't believe that a person has no ability. No, a person can be successful. He has abilities. But to overestimate his ability, that's the mistake. His ability is limited to certain situations. A person good in a certain type of situation can be very successful. Give him another situation, he can't handle it. Isn't it not him? You need somebody else for that situation. And that's what Chazal referred to, a person Shashua Mesachakaslav. Shashua Mesachakaslav means the factors are lined up in his favor because in this type of a situation he can be successful. So therefore he says, so he says like this. He says that the Chacham knows about this idea. Now what does it mean the Chacham knows about this idea? The Eisum Mishpat Yeda Lev Chacham. The Chacham knows about this concept, and he will not go into battle against the person that he sees that the sword that the Shah is Mesachakaslav. He's not going to battle against this individual. Even though he knows that in terms of justice he should. He should. In terms of justice he really should try to defeat this person. for whatever reason, but the justice would demand that he should defeat him. No, he knows, wait, stay back, don't get involved. This is Shor Masachakas law. So it means to say that the Chacham recognizes that there's a system in operation, and that the system's not going to change just for his particular reasons. His own justice, not going to change. The situation is one which is a given, and he can't do anything about it. He has to just simply withdraw. See? He has to withdraw. That's kilochol chayfetz yesh esim mishpat ki ras adam rabalov. Ras adam rabalov. So the Ibn Ezra learns pshat like this. Ras adam rabalov. Afi she yeda ki es lochol chayfetz. V'lo yeda masay tagia ha'es v'zu ro'a rabba. So he knows that justice ultimately will prevail, but he doesn't know when exactly it's going to take place. The timing, he doesn't know the timing. And that is what is bad for a human being. The fact that he doesn't know the timing, and he has to deal with the given situation in terms of the system. What does that have to do with the Shomer Mitzvah lo yeda davarach? And what about the contradiction that it says, Yeshevo Asher Nasal Oras, Asher Yesh Tzadikim Shemagiyalein Kamaisa Roshoyim, Yesh Shon Shemagiyalein Kamaisa Tzadikim? How's that answer? It says, Shoma Mitzvah Yeda Dovarah, I'm not known evil. Even though he's saying, even though somebody that's oppressing you, you shouldn't try to go into battle with him. He's oppressing you, it's unjust. But you shouldn't try to fight against him, as you see, Yashoma Safakasla. They have to suffer his oppression. Because you can't do anything about this.
So we just said you can't know.
It means the Chacham waits. The Chacham waits it out. It means the Chacham doesn't. So what kind of an approach does the Chacham have, basically? I mean, it's an interesting type of mental attitude that he has. I mean, a religious person just has an attitude that this person is oppressing me, God's going to pay him back. That's it. Doesn't do anything. A person who's a kofar, he says there's no justice at all. That's it. The Chacham has a different way of looking at it. Insofar as justice is concerned, he knows that justice will prevail. Justice will prevail. When, he doesn't know exactly when and how, but he knows that justice will prevail. Because he believes in Shafei Kol Ha'aretz, and he knows just what will. The only thing is that he says he doesn't know exactly when or how, but, and he knows another thing, he knows that he has to move. It's up to him to do it. He doesn't passively sit back and wait for God to meter out justice. He knows he has to do it, but he knows in doing it he has to use his intellect, and he has to deal, he has to assess, evaluate the given situation, the given factors. And if he sees the factors as such that this man who is the Rasha is being successful in that area, that's his area of success, he doesn't do anything. Does not do anything. He waits. Withdraws. That's it. Eisa mishpat. Yeda eisa mishpat. Ki l'chol chayfetz yesh eisa mishpat. That's it. So l'chol chayfetz yesh eisa mishpat is really the attitude of the Chacham. The attitude of the Chacham is that mishpat will prevail. Mishpat will prevail. But when and how it will prevail, there's an ace and there's a mishpat for him. But he knows that in terms of his own actions cannot possibly be against the given reality. And he has to watch cautiously till the reality changes, the situation changes, where this person, this Russia, doesn't have his abilities anymore to be successful in that situation, and then he moves in. Next is ki ain any yadei masha yeah, because the person doesn't know what will be. Ki kasher yeah mi yagid lo, whenever it occurs, who's going to tell him? It happens to be an interesting pasuk. Ki ain any yadei masha yeah. Rashi gives very good pshat for this pasuk. It's like this: kasher rasha over avera, when the evil person performs an avera, ain enu no same libo l'masha osar hakadosh baruch hu l'avio b'mishpat. He says he doesn't consider at the time that God is going to actually bring him to judgment for what he did. Voila b'kach, woe unto him because of that. Then what does it mean, kikasher yiyah, when it occurs, mi yagid lo? See? Kikasher yiyah ha'puronis, mi yagid lo l'hamelech l'imolech bo, v'lito b'eitzo, v'lito rishus, ki pesa pisom yivoenu. Alright. He says, Rashi says, when it occurs, He says it happened suddenly, and he can't do anything about it. All right, but there's another pshat in the pasuk. Ki kasher yiyem miyaged lo. You see, ki neni yadei mashiyem means like this. It means that the rosh is the person that doesn't think in advance. He doesn't think. See, the chacham is the person that lives in a different internal world, and everything that he plans based upon a certain outlook and a certain philosophy, an internal type of philosophy. The Rasha doesn't really do this. The Rasha just sees his type is before him, and he acts according to that. But in any day Mashiach, he doesn't know what's going to occur. It means to say, there's two things. First of all, in any day Mashiach means he can't evaluate what is going to occur from his action. See, the Chacham is the person that... What is a Chacham? Chacham isn't a person that simply does the good because God told him to do it. It's more than that. He knows and understands the good. So it means to say the Chacham, a Chacham ain't a Verosha. It means that he sees, he can evaluate, he can remove himself from his emotions, and he can see where it's leading him to, and he can evaluate it, and he sees what's going to occur if he follows that emotion. And he withdraws. He holds himself back. See? The Rosh is the person that simply follows the emotion. So, ain't any Adair Mashiach. He doesn't know what is going to be. That's number one. But it's even worse than that. That's bad enough. But Kikashya Yiyam Miyagedlo. Even when it happens, actually, no one is around to tell him that the reason why it happened is because he did such and such. See? He'll blame every other situation for his disaster. See, that's the unfortunate thing about the Russia. The unfortunate thing about the Russia is that in this life it's very hard to prove things to people. Very difficult to prove things because there's so many variables. Very hard to prove anything. So if you give a person advice and say, look, if you do this, I'm telling you. The Chacham gives somebody advice and says, if you do this, I'm telling you, you're gonna meet with a terrible result. So the person, if he doesn't believe you, he doesn't believe what you're telling him, even if it occurs, he doesn't believe you because ain't any of them are you. He doesn't, who knows? Who says you're right? He doesn't see it. He can't see it with his mind's eye, so therefore it's not real to him. But even when it occurs, the tragedy, the double tragedy, because even when it occurs, at least now if you could say, well, you see, you did the wrong thing, and that's why this happened to you. But the fool will always say, no, it happened for a different reason. There's no one around that could tell him, that could convince him that the reason why he had his downfall was because of the particular mistake, the error that he made. And that's why he continues in his path.
How's he ever going to do tshuva? See?
That's the difficulty. That's the difficulty. And that's what he's saying. That's not talking about a person who does tshuva. It's talking about most people in the world don't do tshuva. So it's talking about most people. That the problem is, that what he's mentioning is the problem is the variables. There are too many variables. And that's why there's no way to prove it. There's no way to prove it. So the Chacham can see it because he's able to look at it in a logic. The only way that you could see it is the only possible way to see the reality of life is if you could look at things unemotionally. Because then you could really line up the factors, the proper factors. But once you have, once you're involved, and the taivas take the person in, he doesn't have the ability anymore to abstract himself, so he can't line up the variables. That's the problem. The problem is that the Russia can't line up the proper variables. Once he can't line up the variables, so therefore he's going to make a mistake in the future. And even if he has a downfall, he still looks at the wrong variables. He says because of this, because of that. So there's no way for him to escape that. No way for him to escape that.
What type of mistake are we talking about? Are we talking about a mistake when you tell a guy?
It's a contradistinction between the Chacham and between the Russia. The Chacham is the person that's Eisum Mishpat Yedalev Chacham. Eisum Mishpat Yedalev Chacham. Eisum Mishpat Yedalev Chacham means that he's he knows exactly, he's rational. He can assess the situation rationally, even though it goes against him. But he knows how to evaluate the given phenomena. And he lines up the factors and he knows now's not the time. That's it. You see? So he withdraws. But the rush is the person that can't line up the factors properly. And even when it occurs, he can't help himself. Because me, I get love. There's nobody can tell him. You tell him he doesn't hear it. Because he doesn't have the ability. Okay. Hey, what is Resha? He says, Resha, some say, Yesh Mefarshim Shehu Mama. Some say it means money. It means money won't save him. Why is it called Resha? He says, Sherubo mi kubots mi Resha. Mostly, on the whole, it's earned through wickedness. That's what he says.
I see people buy the
lies. Divin has learned that pasuk ches and tes are extensions. The situations in which you see that a person has no control. That a person has no control. So therefore, Chacham recognizes that just like he can't control his very life, so he can't control certain situations, Mokhama, whatever it might be. So therefore, he has to go along with the laws of nature that apply in these situations, and he can't just deny them and try to remove them. But he has to work with them as given, and he has to work around them. That's what the Ibn Ezra wants. I see, that's what I mean. All right. Pasuk Yud. V'chein ra'isi rishoyim kevurim vavau. I saw that these the wicked were buried. Vavau, I mean, it's hard for us to translate it. And they came. Nimkom kodosh aleichon, from a holy place they were going. V'yishtaku v'ir ha'shakein osu, and it will be forgotten in the city what they did. I mean, it's hard to understand what we're talking about. All right, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi is like this. Wasn't Rishon Kvurim? It means people that deserve to be Kvurim, deserve to be buried. It means wicked people. Shahiruim Yitamim Bafa. Shahiru Nivzin Bein Shor Umos. Shinem Alem Zeom Lohoya. And he says, the Shaltu Bebeser Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they came in and they ruled over the house of the God. You see? Shumakam Kadosh. And when they left that place, when they left the Middash, El Artsam, Hayu Mishtabchim Be'iram. It says, Chazal say, you shouldn't read it Yishtakhu, but if you read Yishtabchu. Hayu Mishtabchim Be'iram, Asher Kach V'Kach Asu, Be'beisa Shal Makam. Al Tikri V'Yishtakhu, El V'Yishtabchu. So what does it mean? Kendo Shur Razal, Lin Ashikha Kach Nidrish Bagadav, Asofo Shi Yishtakhech Shman V'Zikram in the Ir Atzma. So what does it mean? The point of Rashi means like this. It means I saw wicked people came from another place, wicked people, and they came into the Migdash and they took over the Migdash and they did things in the Migdash, and then they went home and they were praised. And they were praised in the city where they came from for what they did in the Migdash. He says, Gamzehava. Now why does it say Yishtakhu and Yishtabchu? Because the Yishtakhu means that in fact they will be forgotten. But Yishtabchu means that on the moment they will be praised. So what does it mean to say, according to Rashi? According to Rashi, the Pasuk means an interesting thing. It means like this. It means that people who are wicked came and took over the Migdash. What does it mean they came and took over the Migdash? What does it mean they came and took over the Migdash? It means to say that they were very successful. They're successful people. They took over the holy Yadus. They're running Yadus. But they really were not good people. They really were evil people. And these people, when they come home, they're praised by the people in their town. Look how great they are, and they're running the whole system of Yadus. They're running the Beis HaMikdash. They're running the house of God, you see? And they're praised wherever they go. They have all the covered, but actually, that's the Yishtabchu. They realize at that moment, they realize the Yishtabchu. But eventually, it's the Yishtakhu. Because, of course, anything which is, Yadus maintains that loss of love, the reality, true reality will be known to people. So, it can't exist. But during their time, they're very successful. What does it mean to say? See, according to Rashi, it's very, very nice. It's tied together with the previous pasuk. Or Rashi means like this, that there is always a tendency for people to be swerved, to accept certain movements because of the success rate that the movement has. See? Success. Nothing succeeds like success. The fact that the movement is successful is a very big factor in the eyes of people and convinces them that this movement is good. See? Very big factor. Especially if it's success in the area of Yadus. So there, people are very impressed. And that's why institutions, big institutions, always, when they want to get people to support them, always rave about their success. Why they rave about their success? Saying the contrary. If they're not successful, maybe they require more funds. They can't even be successful. No. The logic doesn't work that way. They always rave about their success. Why? Because success always carries with it. You see? The concept, it carries with it very subtly the concept of justice, of being just and being righteous. Because somehow or other people believe, in an unconscious way, that that's right, that the good are rewarded with success. So therefore, if people are successful, somehow or other, others will think that that proves that this is the correct way of life. The way that's successful. You see? That's the, according to Rashi, that's what Rashi explains the pasuk. See? But as a matter of fact, I was recently over. So the argument is it right that Rebbe, is it not right? All kinds of questions. But finally, somebody came into the argument and said, "Yeah, but look what they've accomplished. You see, can't deny them. They're all over the world. They've accomplished this and that. They're very successful. That's it." And that was the everybody said, "Yeah, you can't take that." That was a turning point to the argument. Yeah, but of course it's nonsense, because, people with success has nothing to do with it. And yeah, the success is not a barometer. Success is not a barometer. Nothing to do with it. Nothing. But success is the most potent, powerful force in convincing people. It has to be the most potent appeal in convincing people, not that they're successful, because Rosh Hashanah are very successful too, but in convincing people that it's righteous, you see, that's false. That's how Rashi learns. That's why Rashi says before, he says, all these people that were, he says, Esa sheshola ha'odom ba'odom l'ralo, where people ruled over other people, and it was to their own detriment. What it means, like Nebuchadnezzar and all these other Rishonim that Rashi quotes, what he means is, like a Hitler Machshava, means to say that the fact that there is success, and the person has attained tremendous rulership, but that rulership doesn't mean in any way that what they're doing is right. And on the contrary, eventually it'll lead to to a tremendous downfall. So it means to say that you cannot introduce into an argument that we Jews aren't impressed with success. Success is not a barometer. Success is not a barometer of whether something is right or whether something is wrong. It has no value whatsoever. No value whatsoever. But somehow or other, it remains a very impressive factor with regard to people. Can't deny it. Psychology is very strong. Very strong. And I'm clarifying my position. I'm not judging them. I'm not making judgments about Lubavitcher. I'm just bringing it in as a point that you can't use such an argument. Whether they're right or not is something else. Different story. I'm just saying that I didn't bring it into pass judgment against them. I just brought in that you can't pass judgment for them based on the fact that they're successful. Success does not mean that it's correct. There's no indication of, we are not at all impressed in terms of what is right or wrong by the clamor of success, no matter how successful. That's not a barometer. It's obvious that Avraham Avinu used those used such criteria. He never would have found the goddess. So Christianity is very successful. Very successful. Probably the most successful movement there ever was in the world. Rashi says they took over the Beis Olakim. They took over the house of God, which means they took over the Migdash. They were running goddess. And they went to Yishtab Kubair. And then when they went home, they were praised. Tremendous thing. But it's really the Yishtakra. The definition of success is bringing into practicality certain ideas. Okay? Bringing into reality and converting to practicality certain ideas. That's what success is. But the question, of course, is whether these ideas are true or not. Now, if they are true, then obviously success is good. If they aren't true, then success is bad, because the ideas are no good. So on the contrary. So, but whether they're true or not, you see, can't be determined by whether these people are successful. That has nothing to do with it. There is a subtle point. A subtle point is like this. The people really in the argument, what they say many times like this, that, well, I don't know whether they're right or wrong, but the point is they certainly, it certainly is good what they have done, because, like, let's say, say, well, it has brought more people to Yadis. I mean, okay, then the question is, of course, the question will be whether, the next question will be, is this really, do they actually represent what Yadis represents? Are they really teaching Yadis? Or are they teaching some misguided idea? I mean, these are questions you always have to raise in any movement, you see? So you can't argue, but the fact remains that, look, the people now are better off. Why? Because at least they're, for instance, you'll say, they're Bali Tshuva, so at least you got to admit they're better off this way than they were before. Yeah, but that's just an accidental thing that they're better off. It's like the Rambam writes, the Hashmatas Rambam, that writes, that really says that Christianity, why was the, what was the purpose of Christianity? He says, of course, you can't know the purpose of God. He says, but sometimes a person can see some benefit from what occurred in the world. He says, and the benefit is that now the whole world knows about the Torah. Everybody knows about the Bible. President Reagan knows and reads the Bible. So everybody knows about it. He says, now he says, when Mashiach comes, and he points, and he points to the Bible, and he says, this is what the Torah is, what Torah really means. So since everybody knows about it, they're all going to be impressed and they'll accept them. See, it'd be easy to accept them. Whereas if the Torah remained an isolated book that nobody else would know about, just the Jewish people, so Mashiach would not be able to say that this is. This is really, yeah. Now they have a false interpretation. So now they can come and say, your interpretation is false, but you accept the Torah, don't you? Yeah. Well, this is the real interpretation, so you have to change. But if they didn't know anything about the Torah, so then they wouldn't be able to, he wouldn't be able to reach them. He didn't have no meeting point. See? So that's why he says that Yeshu really did a good thing. I mean, not that he did a good thing in the sense that he himself did a good thing, but in the sense that there was some benefit that resulted from it. See? But the problem is people look at it the other way. They think that because he inadvertently did a good thing, you see that he actually did a good thing, that it was good. That's false. That argument you could use, the same argument you use for Christianity. Say the same argument. It's a very good thing, because now they're closer. But the point is, we do not maintain. Yadis is uncompromised. Yadis is uncompromised. We do not maintain that it is proper to sacrifice any amount of truth. There's no such thing. No Navi ever went to Klal Yisrael with a compromise and said, look, it would be better if you don't have to accept this idea of God, but they won't give you this, will be better. It may be better, but we never, ever, even though it may be better, we never, ever present such alternatives, a false alternative to people. Yadis always presents only one thing. What the truth is, and anything that is short of the truth or a corruption of the truth, we cannot in any way throw behind such a movement or maintain that we should back it, even though it may have good results. Because if that's the case, then you should back Christianity according to this Rambam. You should back Christianity, but we can't do that. We can't. That's God's chesed. What happens inadvertently is God's chesed. It's not our chesed. That's God's chesed. Man only has one chesed to look at. What is the truth of the Torah? He has to act in accordance to the way he is convinced the Torah really, the idea of the Torah truly is presenting. And he cannot endorse a system that inadvertently throws off benefits. That's God's business. That's not our area. So that's why success in no way should influence a person as to whether or not he should support a certain movement. Even if they're successful in the Beis HaMikdash, that's what Rashi says. Because they came into the Mikdash, he says. Because they came to the Beis HaMikdash. And v'shaltu b'beis HaShalakadosh Baruch Hu. In the Beis HaShalakadosh Baruch Hu, they were very successful. They had rulership, power over there. No, he says, that's for Yishtakru. Yishtakru means tremendous success now, but eventually it's going to be nothing. That's what the Pasuk says. He's telling you it's not an argument. I'm not passing any judgment. It's not an argument. You want to argue, ideas should be argued from an internal source, whether the ideas are true or not. should not be argued by whether the people who work with these ideas are successful. It's a different thing. Success is not a barometer. The question is A.B. Hertzberg is asking. He is like this. It's a powerful question. He's saying, if you're going to say there's no distortion, then what are you going to do with the principles of Lola Shema, which we always try to encourage people to learn even Shalola Shema? Why? How are you allowed to do that? It's false. Telling a youngster you should learn because he'll be a great tzaddik and everybody will know about him, be a great Talmud Chacham, and he'll be famous, world renowned, and all that. And really, that has nothing to do with it. It's just exactly the opposite. You shouldn't learn for that reason. That's not the reason. But we say no, because why? Say no. Mitov Shalola Shema Bala Shema. What does it mean? Now, the answer is very simple. The answer is in the very statement. Mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. It means to say like this, that a person, you're allowed, there's only one time that you're allowed to compromise. When are you allowed to, and even falsify actually. When? If the process itself will undo the falsification. Well, undo. Yeah, well, that's what it means. Mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. It means to say that anyone that learns Torah will see when he advances a certain amount immediately that that's ridiculous to say that he should learn for fame. There isn't a single person that ever learned, that ever reached any level of Torah, that ever would maintain that the purpose in life is covered. It's an impossibility. But you'll tell me, but there are people who nevertheless learn Torah and still use it as a means for attaining covered, right? So my answer to you is this: they will never say that is a value. The only problem they have is they can't remove themselves from their emotional desire for covered, and they use it in a very indiscriminated or inadvertently or indiscriminately. I mean, subtly. Isn't it subtly? They're subtly. They're, in other words, their emotions are attached to covered, so that it's true that there are people that use Torah for covered. But the point is, they can never say that this is what the Torah prescribes. This is the value. They may be caught up in that situation emotionally. They're caught up, but that's their problem. That's their bechira. Once they know the truth, if they can't remove themselves from that situation, from that problem, then that's their bechira. But there was nothing wrong for you to get them involved in Torah, because Torah will, once they get involved, they're going to see immediately that this is not true. So you're allowed to involve somebody, to get somebody to do an action of Torah for a false reason, where that reason will immediately, once they get involved in the action, will immediately prove false. It'll self-destruct. Then you're allowed to do it. But to attract them by any other means, where the attraction itself, right, where the attraction itself will remain, will survive their attachment to Yadis, that you can't do. Where a false attraction will survive their attachment to Yadis, a false idea, that you're not allowed to. It's probably the biggest kasha that people ask about God and justice and Yadis. And it's the famous kasha, and the Kahelis tackles it over here. So the question is, you take a look, you see. Actually, this part of Kahelis, from here until Yud, which is as far as we're going to go, basically, from here until Yud, which is where we're in right now, Ches in Yud Aleph. And we're going to go to Yud. Okay? And basically, what is the area that he's dealing with? As far as I can see, and I'm going along with the Ibn Ezra's pshat on this, I'll show you the there's some psukim here that question of how to interpret them. But basically, I think that what he's saying here, what he's doing here, is he's showing you the most difficult points. Those things which make it most difficult for people to accept the system of Yadis. The most powerful questions. He deals with that with that area. Those points which most dissuade a person from accepting the system of Yadis. most influential points in a person's life. And one of them is a philosophical point, and then he deals with emotional factors, the emotional factors that plague a person, that prevent the person from accepting yadas. All right? Doesn't necessarily, some people depends. I mean, some people reject yadas because there are other people, even though they accept it, but it's something which always bothers them in the back of their mind. So they may not act upon it. They may accept the system of Torah, but nevertheless, it's something which always is in the back of their mind and disturbs them. Okay. Now here he says like this. He speaks about those people who are Rishayim. We spoke about last week that they are praised and they take over the Mikdash, and they're influential people, and the concept of success. That most people are very influenced by success, and they consider success to prove that what they have done and what they have accomplished is correct, especially if it's success in the area of religion, the area of yadas. And the people who are accepted are up front. Then he says like this, you see, but then there's also a philosophical point attached to it. Philosophical point is that even if you know that they're wrong, really is a double, the point happens to have a double feature to it. One is an emotional feature, which is that you see that people are successful and they're the ones that are in charge, so this itself carries a tremendous amount of influence. But the other point is that even if you think that they are wrong, there's another question that plagues you. Let's say you dismiss the success factor, but nevertheless, assuming that they're a Shoyim, if you say that they really are a Shoyim, there is one big problem that bothers a person, and that is in Pasuk Aleph. He says, "Asher ein nase pisgam, masa hara mehera." There's a difficulty is that the evil that is supposed to befall the wicked doesn't happen quickly. Asher ein nase pisgam, masa hara mehera. That the evil that is supposed to befall the wicked does not occur quickly, and this is what disturbs people. People can recognize that a person's a rusher, but they're always lying in wait, looking, waiting for the downfall, for the immediate downfall of the wicked. If the wicked actually had an immediate downfall, then many people would be at peace with themselves. They'd say, "Yep, you see, that's the way it works. Is a rusher, you get repaid." But when a person sees evil and wicked take place, and he doesn't see pisgum, he doesn't see immediate mehera, immediate results, so that remains to him the biggest question. It's interesting, you know, and yesterday we did Oz Yasher. In Oz Yasher, Rashi mentions that what is the whole idea of the, you got a quote? The Kovda Bafaro. That's the whole idea this year. The Kovda Bafaro, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu misnakim barashoyim, when God takes revenge upon the wicked, Shmo Mitzgadol Meschabe, his name becomes great and is honored. Okay, V'cheinu Omer V'nishpatati Imo Ito B'Devar Adam V'achakach V'iskadilti V'iskadishti V'nodati V'ini Agayim. So, what does it mean? It means that's the whole idea of the Shira, because the Kiddush Hashem was that all the Rishoyim, like Paro, Paro and Yichbo and Paroshev, were all thrown into the Yam, and this was a Kiddush Hashem. That everybody understands. So, as a matter of fact, the Rav one time mentioned, he said that you see it happens generally, like you see when the time of gangsterism, the 20s, 30s, early 30s, 20s. So when gangsterism was successful, and Al Capone was very successful, famous, more famous even than the President of the United States, so people immediately, so it promotes gangsterism. People respond to that. That's what he's talking about. So sometimes you have a case where Kadosh Baruch Hu is not in, if you know, God takes revenge on Rishayim and they have a downfall. But at that moment, of course, everybody is encouraged to be righteous, to be just. But most of the time, you don't have such an opportunity. How many Kriyas Yamsas do you have? God doesn't appear that way all the time. So the problem that people have is they look at the Russia and they don't see the immediate disaster that befalls them. He says, the next pasuk says the same thing. He does 100 evil things, umarachlo. He keeps on going. God lets him go. He says, even though I know the fact is that those who fear God will have the good, and the other ones will v'tov lo yil rush. It's a truism, but the fact is you don't see it. You don't see it. See, that is the big problem. Then he goes into then he goes further into the, he formulates it in the, into the famous question. That you see sometimes that is, it's inescapable sometimes. You see a Russia who has a good life. On the whole, I told you many times, but on the whole it's not true. The Russia doesn't really have a good life on the whole, because he's fraught with internal turmoil, and usually his turmoil is responsible for his downfall. But there are occasional times when you see the Russia's marach. You see recently this Nazi, Yamach Shemo, has died a peaceful death in his 80s, an old person. That's Russia Amaros, or Russia's Maas Amarach. Father, it's disturbing. How is it possible for a person to be so wicked and yet to die peacefully? It seems like yeah, right. So it seems that this is something which is it would seem that there's no way even to repay such an evil person. Dr. Mengele, the Rishi Olam, it's hard for us to even imagine what kind of evil people these are, and yet you see they live extended lives, and Marachlo, and somehow or other he dies a peaceful death. Many tzaddikim suffered much more. That's the question. Ibn Ezra says in the people, he says that he spent, Ibn Ezra once shot, that when he tried to understand this area, he says, And then he says in Pasuk Yitzayin, he says, V'ra'isyas kol ma'aseh olokim, ki lo yuchal odom limtso as ha'ma'aseh asher nasa tachas Hashem, a man cannot find out, cannot discover that which is done under the sun. B'shel asher yamo lo'odom levakesh, a person will try to understand, to search, lo yimtso, he will not find the answer. V'gam in yomar ha'chacham ladas, even if the chacham will set forth himself to try to understand this, lo yuchal limtso, he will not be able to find the answer. You see, Rashi comment is, V'gam in yomar ha'chacham, Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to discover the answer. So when Moshe Rabbeinu asked God to please show me your ways, so he says, Rashi interprets that was the big question that he wanted to understand. He says he could not fathom it. He was only able to understand it later through Nevuah, but not humanly, through human knowledge, is incapable of understanding it. Okay? And the Ibn Ezra comments again in Tes Gimel, he says, Zer ro b'chol asher nasa tachas ha-shamash. He says, this is an evil above everything that happens under the sun. So the Ibn Ezra says, Ein b'chol asher nasa tachas ha-shamash dover yosek kasher mizeh. There is nothing under the sun that is more difficult than this. Al Cain, and he says, the pasuk says, "V'gam leiv b'nei adam mole ra, v'holelus b'lvavam b'chayeim." He says that's why the heart of man is filled with evil. Al Cain mole leiv b'nei adam ra, v'holelus b'lvavam b'chayeim, b'odam b'chayeim. That's why they people turn to evil. This is probably according to Kahalas, this is the most significant point in people following their evil inclinations and being Rishayim, when they look around and they see that that people are unaffected, seemingly unaffected by no matter how much evil they do.
Remember the one time I asked Bertrand Russell if he's afraid, if he has a fear of God because he doesn't accept God? So he gave that answer. He said, I see many people don't accept God. Nothing happens to them. Right? That's the end. That's it. That's what the Kehillah says. This is the most powerful question. One thing, there's only one thing we can say about Yad, this is the Yad, this does not attempt to hide any questions. Yadis comes right out with it, and we're not afraid of any questions. It's a powerful question. We don't try to deny such a thing. Face the question. That's our obligation. The truth is the foremost obligation of any philosopher. And Yadis comes right out with a problem. Okay. The question we have to ask: does he have anything to offer us in the way of a solution to this problem, or is he just going to leave it as a problem? So you take a look at the psukim, and you'll see there are certain things that he does mention. You see? See, he says, for instance, in Pasuk A, a few points, as I told you, I mean, a lot of times he intersperses with a question, he intersperses part of the solution. Shoma mitzvah layeda davara. He who keeps the mitzvahs will not know of any evil. It's an interesting term, shoma mitzvah. What does it mean, shoma mitzvah? Should be also mitzvah. What is shomer? I say shomer mitzvah. Guards the mitzvah. What do you mean guards the mitzvah? Also mitzvah. He does the mitzvah. Shomer Shabbos, you say. Person guards the Shabbos. So also he's mitkayim Shabbos. What? What does it mean? Shomer mitzvah lo yeh davar. He who guards the mitzvah. See, guarding something implies that it's valuable. Person guards something that's very valuable to him. So shomer mitzvah is more than the person that does the mitzvah. A lot of people do mitzvahs. They do the mitzvah because halacha, you have to do it, they do it. But a shomer mitzvah means the person that guards the mitzvah means to say that the mitzvah to him has a tremendous value. He values the mitzvah. He feels the mitzvah is like a precious gem. It's something that he guards. He recognizes the value and appreciates and has a love for the mitzvah. That's why it says shomer. Shomer mitzvah. Shomer Shabbos Mechalo means not a person that keeps Shabbos. He does not Mechal Shabbos. That's a low level already. He just keeps Shabbos. See, it's hard to keep it. So I don't want to violate Shabbos or keep Shabbos. Shomer Shabbos means he guards it. Guard it means that he recognizes in it tremendous value of the of what it is. And to him, it's an important thing. He guards it. That's why it says Shomer. Shomer is a different level. It's a different level. So that's why it says Shoma mitzvah le'yeda d'ora, a person that guards a mitzvah, a person that really has the values it like something that's like an invaluable object, something that's has tremendous worth to him, is le'yeda d'ora. But then he says ve'esum mishpat yeda lev chacham. Then he says ve'esum mishpat yeda lev chacham, means to say that there is mishpat. So it's funny in the same area where he says, how come that the tzaddikim have ma'aser rishonim, rishonim ma'aser tzaddikim? Nevertheless, he intersperses over there. There is a justice, because it says ki l'chol chayfetz yesh esu mishpat, that there is esu mishpat. And then he says gam yadei ani asher yitov liyira l'kim shirim l'ofanu. I know the fact that it will be good for the person that keeps the fears God. V'tov lo yiel l'rasha v'lo yarech yom katzel asher ineni yarem l'ofnei l'kim. See. So he's telling you that there is justice. There is justice. Alright? What is the pshat? Pshat is like this. What he means basically is that we do see that on the whole, you have to look at it objectively. So if we take a look throughout history, we see that there is a justice that we do find in society. In other words, the mere fact that we are able to learn Torah, I mean, so many thousands of years, 3,000 years away from Matan Torah, no matter what what our enemies try to do to us, we are still able to sit and learn Torah today, shows that there is Hashgacha with regard to Mitzvah. The fact that there was a Kriyas Yamsuf, that Kriyas Yamsuf did occur, and that Rishoyim were destroyed, we see that there is justice. So to deny justice because of the kasha is not a rational type of thing. Of course, what we do see is one thing. We see that in the general picture of history, we do see justice. In the general picture of history. But in particular, you can't find the justice. In other words, the Jews were in Mitzrayim for 210 years, right? So during that time, there were many, many generations. All those generations, people suffered and worked and died, individuals. That we can't explain. Individuals can't explain. But we do see Yetzias Mitzrayim. We do see a Kriyas Yamsa. So the fact that God's justice exists, you can't deny that the justice exists. Because you see it, Yetzias Mitzrayim, you see the fact that Jews were in the desert for 40 years, and the Lo Yomash Amar Onan Yomom V'Amar Eish Lola Lefnei Om, this is a fact. And the Nidus, they were led through the desert by God with Moshe Rabbeinu as their leader, given the Torah, a way of life, which gave them everything valuable in life. The justice you can't see. This we see, but in terms of individual people, we don't understand. We don't know how it takes place. But to deny that there is a justice in the world, that God has not abandoned the world, that we see. However, the individual kasha still poses a big problem. But when you look at the question, you have to look at it objectively. You have to look at both sides. So we see, that's why he says like this. He says, just a second. You see, in the pasuk over here, pasuk Yitzayin, he says, after he mentions the fact that he made a very deep search, he says, "Vareisis kol masei holakim." Vareisis kol masei holakim. He says, "Ibn Ezra, what does it mean to say I saw all the works of the actions of God?" So Ibn Ezra says, "Kitzos masei holakim, vavinosi ikram, lachein hamasa hara shenasa tachas Hashemesh leucha lavina." You see. It means like this, that you have to look at the total picture. Certain things I can't understand about it. But there is definitely to deny that there is, that God does show himself to man in a way and does meter out justice. That definitely is true. The only thing is that there are certain questions about it. And that's a pisgum. It's not immediate. Individuals seem to manage to escape in certain instances. This we don't understand, but that doesn't mean that we should deny the whole idea of God metering out justice. Okay, doesn't answer the kasha, but it shows you nevertheless that there is another side to the picture. Yes, but the point is, but you still can't deny the fact that there is some type of justice that exists. That you can't deny. That you can't deny. That's the something which goes back to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, when they didn't want to say the Kela Gadla Givanara, Gvaroso. And then Rashi says, even though Moshe Rabbeinu said it, so they said, no, we can't say it, because if it's not emes, if we don't really understand it, we can't say it. And they said, no, because the fact that the Yad is able to survive against all kinds of odds, against the most difficult, most powerful odds, that itself shows that there's something here, that there is some type of a justice, that God does show himself to man in terms of implementing a system of justice. But the question, you're right, the question so far as the individual is concerned is still very disturbing. And I'm not saying it's an answer. As a matter of fact, I know many rabbis often say that, look, we suffered the Holocaust, But we have Eretz Yisrael. I mean, this is not an answer. This is not an argument. But what it does show is, the fact that we have Eretz Yisrael does show something. You can't take away from that. If you're trying to answer the question, it doesn't answer the question. Because the point is, it's not fair that one person should die or other people should die so that others should have Eretz Yisrael. That's not justice. But the fact that we have Eretz Yisrael does show that there is a Yad Hashem. That there is a Yad Hashem being expressed. But the question, if you want to answer the question, not an answer. But to deny the fact that there is such a phenomena is equally false. To deny the fact that there is such a phenomena. Okay. Now, obviously, he's not going to answer the question, because he says, the gamen yomar chacham adas lo yuchal emtzach. He cannot find a solution. But there's one thing I want to say about this. I think he also mentions it in the pasuk. You see where he says gam in the pasuk Yudbeis, where he says ki gam yodea oni ashiyia tov liyira lekim ashiyir mofanav. He says I know that it will be good for those who fear God. He says, you know, the tov lo yia l'rasha, the lo yarech yamim katzel. He says he knows that the fact is that the Russia will not have good. What does that mean? What does he mean to say over here? He knows, but the question is, it sounds like crazy. Well, you know, but you're telling me that it doesn't work that way. Next pasuk, Yeshevel Hashem Asalorets, Hashem Yeshevel Hashem Asalorets. What does it mean? It's a contradiction. You can't say you know when you see just the opposite occurs. Over here, there is somewhat of a solution. See, a chacham is satisfied even if he doesn't have a total solution, but he's satisfied if he understands the area as best as he could. What he's saying is like this. This, I think, is the most important thing, most important point with regard to this question. What he's saying is like this. The question, you see, there are a lot of questions, and there are a lot of things that we don't understand, and there's no doubt about it. And a lot of things that the human mind can't understand. But he's trying to show you in Kehelas. He's not trying to... This is not Eiv. Somebody mentioned Eiv before. It's not Eiv over here. What he's trying to show you is really it's psychological philosophy. What he's trying to show you is how certain things affect the human psyche. And what he's saying over here is a very interesting thing. He's saying like this. He's saying there's two aspects to the question. Two aspects to the question. One aspect to the question is, how could it be? It's a theoretical question. It's nice. A lot of theoretical questions. But then there's another aspect to the question, the practical, which means to say that I take this into consideration in so far as making a judgment as whether I should lead a life, an ethical life, a life of truth and justice, which the Torah tells us to lead, you see, or whether I shouldn't lead such a life, whether it would pay for me to leave this way of life of justice and lead an unjust life. You see? That's a practical question. Practical question. So really the question is on two planes. You have the theoretical and you have the practical. Now this is what he says. He says like this. What he's saying is that when a person does the good, he who really has knowledge of the good does the good because it is good for him. In other words, a person knows that he has a soul, and he knows that there are certain activities that are supposed to be done, that must be done, if his soul, his essence, is going to be satisfied. If his essence is going to be satisfied, he must do that. So therefore, he is not doing it because he expects a reward from God. He's doing it because he understands that this is the good. It's just like a person will take care of his health. Does a person take care of his health because if he follows the doctor's orders and the doctor will give him something, will give him some type of a gift or something, reward? I mean, it's absurd. The doctor could be the meanest person, but the fact is he knows that by taking care of his body, he's benefiting his body, and he does it because intrinsically, because that is the right thing for his body. Now, a chacham knows that he has, besides a body, he knows he has a soul. He's another part to his nature. And this part is really the essential part of his nature, because everything is determined by that part. So he knows that in order to have a good life, he must, of necessity, do those things which are good for the soul. Has to. And he knows doing things which are harmful for the soul must harm him. That's what he means when he says like this. Gam yo ki gam yo dea oni ashi yatov liyira lakim ashi yamofanav. I know that it has to be good. If a person follows the good, it must be good. Why? Because intrinsically, I understand that is the good, and since my nature is I have something like I have a soul that exists within me, so the fact that I have a soul and the fact that this is the perfect prescription for the soul demands that in order for me to have a good life, I must do it. So I'm not doing justice because of any extraneous type of reward from God, but rather because it is immediately good. A person with a chacham knows the benefits of having his soul being existing in a harmonious state. And he knows that being in disharmony is the worst situation that he could possibly experience. And a person as a chacham knows that the greatest gift, the greatest enjoyment in life, the most valuable thing in life, is the enjoyments of the soul. Those are the enjoyments that he's after. There's nothing a chacham between a rasha, you say. So the chacham knows that it has to be. There is no way out of it. That the one who fears God, the one that lives according to the ways of that the Torah presents, he understands. He doesn't just listen because God told him. He's not doing God a favor. But he understands that this is really the life. This is the good. So he knows that it has to be good. That's what he says. Kigam yodea ani ashi yatovu yiro lekim ashir mufayin. Know that it will be good for those who fear God. That they will have that they must have the good. They must have a good life. V'lutov lo yiyel rasha v'lo yarech yom katzel. Even for one moment he won't have any arichas yom. What does he mean v'lo yarech yom katzel? He means he recognizes the fact that that which is evil, if a person engages in that which is evil, even for a moment he can't have any arichas yomim. Why? Because what he means by arichas yomim, arichas yomim doesn't mean length in time. It means the quality of life. So he knows that a rasha cannot possibly have that good. It's an impossibility. Because he understands good and evil. You see? So therefore, what he's saying is like this. What he's saying is that the question, he throws the question from one area to another. What he says is like this, that if in terms of motivation, if your motivation for doing the good is based upon the fact that God will repay you for doing the good, and you're going to have a certain type of life, then of course there's no answer. There's no answer. Then there's no motivation for you to do good anymore. But a person who is a chacham knows and does the good because he recognizes that this is the good, and he knows that the rush is layarch yom katzel. He knows our shayim kayam nigrash. He knows that that type of a life is a turbulent life, a life of turmoil, and disharmony. And he knows that the only life that's valuable is life, the harmonious life, in which there is perfection. So he follows the reason why he does the good is simply because of that, because it is the good. That's why he says kigam yadei ani. However, you have a question with regard to external justice, God's external justice system. It's a question we can't answer. But what he says is, he throws it onto the theoretical plane and removes it from the practical plane. That's the way he handles the question. You see? And he says he knows that this is, even so, he knows that this is the most influential factor. He says, "Zera b'chol asher nasa tachas hashemesh." Like Ibn Ezra says, "Ein b'chol asher nasa tachas hashemesh dover yosek kasha mizeh." Why? Because what I want to say was that in this area, this last part of Kehelas over here, almost last part, he's dealing with factors that affect a person, that influence a person in terms of their life on an emotional plane. And he says the most potent, most powerful emotional influence is derived from this, stems from this one fact. From this one fact. That Yesh Rashayim Shemagiyah Lein Kamaisei Yatzadikim and Yesh Tzadikim Magiyah Lein Kamaisei Rashayim. But nevertheless, in reality, it's not an argument. All it is in reality is a question. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to understand God's ways, because he had any question in his mind as to whether he should follow a good life or a bad life. That wasn't the question that was disturbing Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew intrinsically, internally, that this has to be the best life, and he would never leave us. This is the greatest enjoyment. How can a person say he's going to leave the good? Like, it's crazy. The person can say he's not going to do that which is best for himself. But Moshe Rabbeinu was interested on a theoretical plane, theoretical question. The people that pose this question are not people that are interested in the theoretics. To them, it's a practical question. It's a, how could it be this Russia dies in peace? So why should I be a tzaddik? Why should I suffer? Because to them, being a tzaddik is tantamount to suffering. And what they're waiting for is an external compensation. That is not a chacham. That's not a chacham. That's not a person that's not yadei ani. You see? Yadei ani means the reason why he does the good is because he knows that this is the good. And there's no escape. The tzaddik has no escape. He has to do the good. He'd be foolish. It's impossible for him not to do. But so what he understands why the good is the good, and in what way the good helps helps him in terms of his happiness, you see. As a kasha, hero kasha. Nevertheless, he says that it remains for most people, it remains the most influential source for a person to deviate from the Torah's way of life. That's the way he handles the question. Hey, what is the other answer? That's a good point. I want to go back. Why does he mention that you do see that God does in the greater picture? Why do you see that in the greater picture? What's the importance of that? The importance of that is that you see that there is a confirmation. That there is a confirmation through Nevuah and through practical results that you see that God endorses the good. You see an endorsement of the good. You see that God endorses the good through the events that occur in which he shows when he does meter out justice. So we know that that this is a part of God's system. It's not simply a matter of doing the good because you're going to enjoy your happiness, but there's something more to it. It means to say there's two things. One thing in doing the good is you do the good because it's best for you. Everybody wants what's best for them. A person wants to be in a harmonious state. But is that all there is to it? Would you say that a person who lives a good life, that he simply is a harmonious soul, and the person that doesn't live a good life is a disharmonious soul?